know, the choir really is about enjoyment, isn't it? And giving enjoyment.
Yes.
And I find great enjoyment playing for the choir.
So how did you first become involved with the
Dalesmen? Well, Dalesmen started in, as a meeting in 1971, and Walter joined, and he was the secretary. He was one of the founder members. And Mrs. Brooks was the accompanist. She used to live in one of the cottages at Bramble Carr. She went to Australia for 6 months.
Oh, right.
And Walter suggested that I fill in. So I went as a stand-in, and I'm still here. I don't know how many years. Very few people there. They were all very local. They were much more local job-wise. They were what I would call real locals of the area.
Yes.
And great fun. Well, some of them had lovely voices and have been in choirs before, like Barry Nuggs, resonant voice. And Colin Throop was the conductor. He managed to sort of, you know, get a lot out of them, really. Some of them, as I say, had been in choirs before, but some of them hadn't. In those days, the concerts were very local on the whole. There weren't the computers and the other interests in those days, and it was such a big occasion. And our gala nights were huge occasions. We used to practice, as Colin told you, you know, like even marching down the hall. With Colin knowing, having come from the world of music, you know, he knew special people to ask. We had some wonderful guest artists. So varied, you know, like opera singers to brass bands, choirs, to groups. Gala nights then were very special. So special in a way that when they were over, I used to feel dejected, you know, because the big excitement had gone. One of them I remember particularly.
Some of the concerts in the early days, then, can you remember some of those? I mean, there must have been some ups and downs with them.
Saying which ups and downs. And I meant to ask Colin about that. And we got there and there was no audience at all. And so I think we spent the evening in the bar. No. And then another one we went to, it was at, one of the men, we went there several times, at Rosedale Head. There was a chap. And you never know when you go to, whether you're going to be freezing cold or boiling hot. And at Rosedale Chapel, there was this stove that was all sat by the piano. I used to get absolutely roasted. You know, and I think that was the place where Colin Throop sang, and he was singing Jerusalem. And when I got to the last page, it wasn't there at all. It wasn't a sort of piece that I could play from memory. So I'm afraid Colin, being professionally was, Colin Throop, just continued singing without me. But going back to being hot or cold, we played at Salt Glen once. And I can't remember where we were, but I know we were on this stage. And I was sort of high up on the stage, and behind me was a door, and somebody had left it open. And I was absolutely niggered, and we were in the concert had started, so I couldn't do anything about it. Literally, I was frozen. And I remember I was playing, in those days, I used to play the introduction, proper introduction to Finlandia, musically very hardened, with frozen fingers. It was awful. And obviously, at half time, somebody did shut the door. But I still remember this sense of being absolutely frozen. I mean, some of the pianos that I used to have to play on, the people concerned would say, oh yes, the piano's been tuned. But A, if a piano's been moved after it's been tuned, it goes. But so often these old elderly pianos we used to get in village halls, yes, they may have been tuned, but then once you start playing, the tuning gradually goes, only any notes playing at the end. But having said that, I would still rather have a piano I'm going back to the old days, have a piano than some of the little electric organs that I was given to play on. A lot of the notes would be missing because they were so short, you understand what I mean? They'd only be perhaps 3 octaves. And so the notes I was meant to play weren't there. They wouldn't play like a normal organ. They didn't used to play by touch, you know, how you play. You have to move something up and down, which you can't really do. And I found those. And that's why when Steve first suggested that we get an electronic organ, I was a good guy. Given the choice, I would still rather play a good piano.
Yes.
But sadly, I can't play grand pianos because we did have a piano not that long ago that they said had been tuned. And as I said before, you know, it gradually went during the evening. So I've had some interesting experiences, many happy ones.
I got the impression that in the early days there were more soloists from the choir than we get now. Is that right?
I think so. As of now, yes. And very different sort of soloists. Told jokes and things and
all
different covers, you know, just to lighten it up. And people sang sort of light. Somehow there was a lot more lightness to it. Colin Throop often used to sing some serious operatic songs and broke it up with light-hearted ones as well. And yet, yes, I suppose on general there were more soloists. There was a tenor soloist who had a lovely tenor voice, and one of his favourite songs was Macushla. He used to sing it beautifully all the way through until the final note, which was very high. And I used to sit there in absolute dread because he could never hit this high note. And I used to sit quivering. There was him. And as I say, Smith from Mitterby used to do a compare job. And there was Mike Carter used to do tell funny jokes and things. He came from Briar. We went to sing at Whitby not that long ago before he finished, and it was Christmas time. It was wintry time. It must have been Christmas time. And as I got out of the car and was walking into St. Hilda's Church, a gust of wind got hold of my music and it blew all over the place. For some reason, a lot of it was loose. Usually I have it safe. You know, everybody around about was scattered to pick up this music in the streets of Whitby. And Peter wrote me a lovely poem about it.
Really?
Which brings me to the poem, doesn't it, of when they went on the trip to Sweden. If you didn't know the people, it doesn't mean quite as much. Saying about the undertaker and the blacksmith. Eddie Harker was a blacksmith as well in those days, and the ladies.
So who was the person who wrote the poem?
Very well-known reader of Cleveland Bay Horses.
Oh, yes, yes. Jack Welford.
Yes, Jack Welford. And it was he that wrote the choir, wrote the poem. Which hit the nail on the head, because sadly in those days I didn't go away with the choir. Colin's brother used to play for them. But I am still mentioned in the poem. I can think of two strange stories that happened later on.
Yes.
And I don't know if you were at them. We were singing at Courtham Church in Redcar. And I was playing, I think I was playing their electronic organ, I can't remember. But Colin Grout was singing a solo, or he was about to sing a solo. And as I sat there, clouds of what I thought was smoke suddenly came from underneath this electronic organ. And of course I'd absolutely petrified it, being electric, you know, and smoke coming for it. So I jumped up and I said, I can't go on, there's smoke coming from this. And Colin looked at me, he was stood there waiting. And I looked at the choir who sat near me in the front benches at the church. And they all just sat and looked. No, nobody sort of rushed up to my rescue. I think they were as stunned as I was. The long story short, of absolute mayhem. It was one of these machines that make mist for stage, and for some reason it was under this electronic piano. We had no idea why. It suddenly started sending clouds of mist out, but you can imagine me mistaking it for the smoke. And as Colin said afterwards, he should have changed the song to When Smoke Gets in My Eyes. Looking back, that was hilarious, but you know, the memories of it are this smoke coming up and looking at the choir. But she sort of sat and looked at me in amazement. So much for my hero. And the other one was a silly one, but it's still remembered because people from Mosan had stopped me in the street and said, do you remember? And it's not that long ago I was playing there. And I was sat at the electronic, our electronic organ, and a spider appeared on the floor, big spider, and I had a long frock on. And I was just petrified that it would run up my leg. I don't mind spiders, but I didn't fancy it running up the legs during. So I stopped then and said to Steve, I'm sorry, I can't go on, there's a spider. And I think everybody thought I was petrified of spiders. I'm not. Very good audiences, as I said, that you know, it was something special to have a local choir. They'd had local choirs before, but there'd been a sort of a lull. And there were a few local choirs, but there was nothing. When we came and when Colin started, you know, there was the choir at Slides. Colin took the Slides singers.
Yes.
Colin through. But there was nothing. And as I say, we used to have good audiences, wonderful teas, which we still get. But again, several strange things have happened. And I'm sure Colin sadly is dead now, but he wouldn't mind me saying this. He could be artistically temperamental. And he had been known to march out of choir practices when things didn't quite go his way. but it was always forgotten. It was never a long-standing thing. And I can remember one or two occasions, literally. One was at Kildale, and the same thing happened, I think it was at Easington. There were some ladies that would persist in talking when we were singing. And so Colin had to refuse to sing a solo. You know, he wasn't going to sing a solo when people couldn't respond. I mean, he didn't outright say, you know, he just said to me, no, I'm not singing here. I suppose the venues, in a way, were similar to what we have today, but we didn't travel as far afield. The first rehearsal I went to was in Danby Village Hall, in the supper room at the back. And we used to wheel the piano through, you know, which was so good for it, of course. And I think it says in one of the notices, you know, we really must get a better piano for the Village Hall. And then the first concert I remember going to with them was, we were rehearsing for Merry England in connection with Slice Choir. Sadly, a lot of these venues we don't go back to now, but at least we do go to new and different ones. I think the choir is so big in comparison to some of these little places we used to go to, they wouldn't sort of fit in, really.
So which was the first trip you went on? Was that Canada or Norway?
That amazing time with them. I've been to Holland, Norway, Sweden, Canada, France, Spain.
That's fantastic, actually.
It is. It's staggering where the choir has been.
Yes.
That was something going back to Barry Nags. He would have a sheaf, that just reminded me, he would have several pieces in his hand. And even though he'd been to practice, he'd practice various things. And he'd stand there on the stage and I'd wait for him to announce what he was going to sing. of the pieces.
He never knew.
And one time he said to me, what am I going to play, Anne? Sorry, what am I going to sing, Anne? No. And he'd forgotten, you know, his mind of discipline and wonder what he decided. Sometimes the accompaniment should overtake the choir slightly. Sometimes the accompaniment should be underneath the choir. It's just accompaniment. And sometimes the accompanist has a part, you know, the choir has a bit, and even though they're still singing, my bit should be just as important. You know, and that's the musicality of it, isn't it? The sort of blending. Trying to know when you're important, so to speak, and when you're not.
What do you get out of the choir from your own personal view, and what do you think choir members get out of being in the Dales when we're talking about now?
Personally, I just get a huge contentment. I get my music, and I love to accompany to be playing with people. Huge enjoyment from most of the choir members themselves, you know, the people. I was going to say, it isn't mainly the music, no. It's both, really. It's the whole thing. Being part of a choir is amazing, and I wish... And the sad thing is, when I was at the Academy, it never occurred to me, or nobody ever suggested to me, to try accompanying. I suppose in those days I perhaps would have said no. Never having considered it myself, I don't know. Because I am so grateful that, you know, I've had the chance to be with the choir and get the joy of company and being part of the Dalesmen, basically.
The Dalesmen are very grateful for having you as an accompanist over the years. And you can always tell this.
I think I'm an older.
No, but you can always tell this at concerts as well, that because we go back to places we've been to before, that you're known, aren't you, in a lot of places.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And,
simply because I've been there. I'm so old.
But people appreciate that, and certainly the choir does, absolutely.
Well, I think what the choir does, I can't help but feel the music, and I find it so hard to contain myself sometimes. You know, I want you to feel it as well. I sometimes wish I didn't feel it so much. You know, I can't help feeling rhythm or joy of it or the sadness of it or whatever it is, you know.
Well, it does transmit to the choir, even if the choir doesn't always look as though
it's... Because you're probably going to have me next week on Tuesday. Such is life.
And yeah, thank goodness for music and all the things that it brings. It brings in so much, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Thanks very much, Anne.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.